Now may I speak in the name of the living God, to his Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So we hear from the vision of Revelation, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the mother of Jesus saying unto him, they have no wine. If you've ever arranged a party, you know all about worrying that you may run out, working out how much food and drink you need, buying or ordering it or making it, deciding that you've probably got enough, and then at the last moment, in panic, going to get some more supplies, just in case. And if the do is a wedding, with family and friends coming from far and wide, the tension is even greater. You can't afford not to have enough food and drink. People will never forget it. But that was exactly the social disaster facing the wedding party at Cana. Jesus, as we hear in today's gospel, saves the day. It's a lovely part of the gospel, partly because we can all identify it with it. The unexpected problem, the even more unexpected and wonderful solution of water becoming wine, and the happy resolution for the happy couple. It captures our imagination. I remember David Tomlinson entrancing the Mothers and Toddlers group, the Tinies, as it's now called, as he demonstrated this story by pouring wine, water, into some plastic beakers, which he had prepared with a little bit of red-coloured juice at the bottom. And this is still done today, and I hear it was done only last week. And the families love it. The mums enjoy it. The little ones are transfixed. It's a very human story. As Jesus, through his first miracle, blesses a bride and groom on their wedding day. It even enhanced the bridegroom's reputation, as such superb wine was suddenly available in such abundance. Though I suspect he was rightly so high on cloud nine in the company of his new bride, but he probably had no idea of the panic going on. And of course, we hope that they lived happily ever after. But I think that John wants us to realise that Jesus is doing something even more astounding in this first miracle. Today's Revelation passage gives us a clue as it talks of the marriage of the Lamb, Christ, to his bride, the church, at the end of time, when God's purposes have been fulfilled and evil is conquered forever. That's why the church is often referred to as she, just as bride and groom become one, united in love. So we, the church, are drawn in to God's love, own life of love, to be one with him. But I want to offer an interpretation which I've never heard or read elsewhere. It's entirely mine, and so it may be completely wrong. But see what you think. I think John is deliberately linking those first days of Jesus' ministry with the Genesis account of creation. Remember the very first words of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And remember also and compare the very first words of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word. Genesis describes the creation of the world over 7 days as the Spirit of God moves over the waters and God begins by proclaiming, let there be light. In John's Gospel, we hear in his first chapter how John the Baptist, baptizing by the Jordan, sees Jesus and sees the Spirit of God descending and resting upon him. When did the miracle at Cana take place? We heard this morning that it was on the third day. And that might immediately make us think of the resurrection at Easter. And I'm sure there is a sense of that. But if you go back and look at the first chapter of John in detail and the action, you'll find out that several things happen over several days. John talks of the next day, the next day, the next day, and then on the third day, 6 days altogether. In Genesis, on the sixth day of creation, Friday, God created the living creatures who live on the earth, cattle, wild animals, creeping things, and humanity, man and woman. And he tells them, be fruitful and multiply. And God saw all that he has made, and behold, it was very good. And on the seventh day, God rested. We know that this idyllic situation didn't last. Adam and Eve gave in to temptation. Human life lost its innocence and became distanced from God. But what is happening at Cana? On the sixth day, since Jesus, the Son of God, begins his work, man and woman are blessed by Jesus' presence as they too come together to be fruitful and to multiply, blessed by the wine offered by Jesus, the true vine. If there's anything in this interpretation, what does it mean for us? But Jesus, in his first miracle, is rebuilding the relationship between God and humanity. Also looking forward to that later Friday when the true vine would shed his blood, lay down his life for us, to save us forever. And that God cares about our ordinary life, our worries and our problems and joys, just as he cares about the grand movements of the universe, just as he cares for that unknown couple and wanted to make their special day really happy, so he cares for us too. And with his eternal love, the creator of the universe invites us here at the altar in this church this morning to receive Christ's body and blood given for you. Amen.